Hey, Russell Evans here. We are so excited to have you with us today. I'll be sharing on the fight of faith. You know, every person has faith in them when they know Jesus, but it's that fight of faith that makes us champions because Jesus has put that fight in us. I want to encourage you today, sit back and enjoy and let it impart into your spirit. Today, I'm going to speak to you about the fight of faith. The fight of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. Does everyone say huge crowd? You know, in heaven right now, there's a crowd of witnesses that are believers that have walked the earth and have experienced what we've experienced, and they're there. My mum's in heaven. You know, my mum's an awesome lady. She loved the Bible, and she loved to discuss the Bible. In fact, my mum liked to discuss a lot of things. Some people would call it arguing. Other people would call it conversing with a strong message. And I can imagine my mother sitting around talking to the Apostle Paul about doctrine and about stuff. What you meant there is this and that. You know, in heaven, there's a whole heap of people who have gone before us. And the only way to heaven, by the way, is through relationship through Jesus. People don't automatically go to heaven. They go to heaven because they invite Jesus into their life. That's what the Bible says. And there's a choice that we have, heaven or hell. And how we go to heaven is by receiving Jesus into our life and asking Him for the forgiveness of sin and coming into relationship with Him and His Father. So heaven's filled with witnesses, the Bible says, a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance. Everyone say endurance. The race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep your eyes on Jesus. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. The life of faith, you need to understand a couple of things. Firstly, that it says we're surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses. That word witness is the word martyr. It's someone who doesn't surrender but lays their life down for a cause. We're standing here today because people laid their life down for the cause of the Australian way of life, of our viewpoint, of our way we saw things and stood against an enemy. People died for our freedom. Well, there's a whole heap of people in heaven who not only have they passed from this earth to the next earth, but they are people who laid down their life for the cause of the gospel. Not necessarily did all of them die for the gospel, but they laid down their life, their agenda, everything they had for Jesus. See, if we're going to live this life of faith, it's laying our lives, our agendas down to the cause of His agenda. The Bible says in Matthew 10, when talking about being a disciple of Jesus, Jesus says, a disciple must be somebody who takes up his cross and follow after me. He says, those who don't is not worthy of me. And the Bible then says, he who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So being a disciple of Christ is somebody who decides that Jesus is the Lord, his way is better, his way is more superior, so I'm going to lay my life down for his purpose. In other words, he's the boss. And so if he's the boss, I come into submission and agreement and alignment with his cause. Imagine being an army and nobody agreed on anything. We should fight there. We should do this. We should do that. You would never win the battle. The whole plan of the enemy is to create division. See, if an army is divided against itself, it can never take anything. But when an army is united and says, hey, we're gonna come into alignment with the generals of what their decision is, then guess what happens? We take land and we take back what the enemy has tried to steal. God is our general. Jesus is our leader. And so if we're going to bring the kingdom of God to this earth, if we're going to live a life of faith, it comes by laying down our agenda to come in alignment with his. That's called dying to the flesh. You know, the Bible then says, to strip off everything that holds us back. Today, it's time to let go of the past. Today, it's time to let go of those things that are weighing you down. Some of us need to take off our small thinking. Some of us need to get rid of unforgiveness. Some of us need to let go of offense. Some of us need to let go of feeling guilty all the time, even though you're forgiven. Some of us need to say, God, I'm not going to live according to what other people are saying about me. I'm going to live according to what you say about me. It's time to take off, strip off those things that will hold you down, that would weigh you down. The enemy wants to weigh you down with shame. The enemy wants to weigh you down. It's time to get rid of it. Turn to your neighbor and say, get rid of it. Strip it off. God, our Father, has made all things depend on faith. So whoever has faith will have everything. And whoever does not have faith will have nothing. George Mueller says, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible, where there is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. See, if we're going to live a life of faith, we've got to strip off the things that aren't of faith. Fear, strip it off. Take it off. I remember one time I was learning to cope with fear. You know, and in a fear of flying, and I would cope with it. I'd get my iPad out and I'd cope with it. And I remember Sam and I were in a hotel, and she said to me, you're coping with fear instead of conquering fear. And I said, no, I'm not, I'm okay. She said, no, you're coping. Could you survive a flight without looking at your iPad where there's turbulence? I said, oh yeah, I could. No, she goes, no, you still got fear. So she said, come on, grab my hand. So we grabbed her hand and she grabbed mine. And she said, Jesus, we renounce fear. We denounce fear. We come out of agreement with fear of flying, and we come into agreement with peace. We come into agreement with love. We come into agreement with joy. And so we let go of the fear. Guess what? I didn't feel any great electric volt go through me, but inside I knew I had come out of alignment or agreement with fear and come into agreement with God's truth, that there is no fear in perfect love. And since that day, it can be turbulent, it can be stormy, but I have no fear. Why? Because I stripped off something that wasn't of faith. Some of us need to strip off and let go and untie ourselves with stuff that have held us back for too long. We've coped with it. We'll just live with it. No. God doesn't want you just to live with it. He wants you to overcome it. He says you're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. So strip off the lies of the enemy. Come out of agreement with the lies of the enemy and come into agreement with the truth of God's word. The next thing it says, that point in this is, faith believes God has set our paths. The Bible says here, it says, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. God has set our path. He has a plan. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, the plans God has for you are for good, for a good hope and a future. God has plans. The Bible says that the path, he sets our paths. It says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. God has a path for us. But what lightens up our path is his word. See, that word set before us means destined, where you get the word destiny. So God, when he created you, he predestined you. That word destined means thesis. He pre-wrote your existence. And because he pre-wrote your existence, our job is to come into agreement and believe with him about what he's put in our lives. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. See, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. See, faith in God and believe and trust Him that He will, even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's with us. He's taken us through. When we go up the mountaintop, He's there. When we go to the valley low, He's there. He's there. But what keeps us moving is faith, is belief that He ordains our paths, that nothing is impossible to those who believe. And so we keep living in faith. Everyone say, keep going. A television program after the 1988 Winter Olympics featured a blind skier being trained for slalom skiing. Impossible as that sounds, paired with sighted skiers, the blind skiers were taught on the flats how to make right and left turns. When that was mastered, they were taken to the slalom slope, and when their sighted partners skied beside them shouting, left, right, and as they obeyed their commands, they were able to negotiate the course and cross the finish line. Depending solely on the sighted skier's word, it was either complete trust or catastrophe. And the problem with Christians is we do partial trust and we get catastrophe, because unless it's complete trust, we don't experience complete fullness and complete purpose and complete destiny. You see, what a vivid picture of the Christian life. In this world, we are in reality blind about what course to take. We must rely solely on the word of the only one who is truly sighted, God Himself. His word gives us a direction we need to finish the course. If we really believe that God has ordained our steps, our job is to listen. Left, right, left. Right, right, left, left. You imagine, say this is a ski slope. Left, left, right, right. And if I think I better go right again, guess where I'm going? So it's listening to His direction, because He has seen your future before you've seen it. He's seen what's coming your way. He's established and set up your destiny. And the thing about destiny is all about agreement to His voice. Left, right, right, left, left, right. And then it's a life of trust. Fourthly, this fight of faith that we have, how do we live it? Keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our ears on Him. Listen to Him. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. The Bible says for us to incline our ear. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody's talking and you want to know what they're hearing, what they're saying? You do this. You might be talking here, but you're like, what's that? Inclining your ear. We need some spiritual people to incline their ear to what God is saying. Because here's the devil's plan, is to distract you. And I'm here on a mission this morning. It's to destroy the works of the enemy from you living a life of distraction. That's why worship, remember I talked about last week, worship in the Word, abiding and aligning, Spirit and in truth, worship and His Word. What does that do? It inclines our ear to Him. What getting in His Word, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So if I put my life around hearing what He says and seeing what He says and seeing Him in all things, guess what? I'm going to keep going. So today, if you want to live a life of faith, it comes by inclining and fixing your eyes. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Fixing your eyes on Him. I'm not going to be distracted by anything else. I'm not going to be distracted by my situation, distracted by the noise of the enemy. I'm going to fix my eyes and incline my ear. I'm going to be so focused on Jesus that everything I do is about Jesus. Everything I see is about Jesus. Everything I hear is about Jesus. My problems, they hear Jesus over them. They don't hear problems, they hear Jesus' name.
Oh, my future, they hear him calling me. You see, it's focusing. So many people get distracted.
I trust you've been enjoying the message. We're about to go into a whole nother level, so get ready. It's going to bless you. Isn't it the plan of the enemy to distract you? How does he do it? Did God say, you messed up, you did this, oh, look at this situation? Why does the Bible say faith comes by hearing? Because trust comes by what you hear. So if I'm going to live a faith life, guess what I got to do? I got to listen to God's word and cut out the distraction of the lies of the enemy. You say, well, how do you cut out the distraction of a voice? You replace it with another voice. I've discovered this. Voices will keep coming and keep going. But what voice I allow to filter my ears is a voice that will build my courage, that will give me a dream, that will give me a destiny, that will speak to my future. You see, if I listen to the voice of the enemy who tries to distract me, guess what's going to happen? It's going to take me off course. It's going to take me away from where God has got. So I've got to incline my ear to God. That's why worship does that. Worship inclines your ear to him. You start singing about him and start focusing on him, and all of a sudden your spirit starts hearing him. You know, they did a test on people's heart rate in worship. And it's actually amazing that everyone who worshipped, their heart rate beat at the same beat, remained the same rate. Why? Because spirit, you're a spirit person more than a physical person. And the enemy tries to speak through your senses into your spirit. But if we get our senses to worship God, guess what happens? God speaks into our spirit. That's why when I worked in the bank and I'm serving customers and I'm talking about my God, about my destiny, I've been praying about it, and I'd be there and I'd be serving. Hey, how you doing? Great to see you. And inside I was like, oh God, I worship you. I thank you. You're awesome. Because my attention, what I focus on, is what actually attracted me. So what you are focused to, what you give your attention to, is actually what you're attracted to. So if I fix my eyes on Jesus, guess what happens? I think like Jesus. I see like Jesus. I talk like Jesus. If I get distracted through problems, guess what I talk about? My problems, my situation, things that are holding me back. But when I focus on him, the life of faith is about focusing on him. And that focus comes by worship and the word, abiding and aligning, spirit and truth. Arnold Palmer, famous golfer, in 1961, I think it was, 1961, he was in the Masters, 1961 Masters. He had a one-stroke lead and just hit a very satisfying tee shot. And he felt he was in a pretty good shape. As he approached the ball, he saw an old friend standing over at the edge of the gallery, and he motioned me over, stuck out his hand and said, congratulations. And he said, I took it and I shook it. But as soon as I did, I knew I'd lost my focus. On the next two shots, I hit the ball into the sand trap, then put it over the edge of the green. I missed putt and lost the Masters. You don't forget a mistake like that. You just learn from it, become more determined. You'll never do it again. See, what happened is he got distracted. And God wants us to get rid of distraction today. Fear distraction, hurt distraction, intimidation distraction, negativity thinking distractions. I told this story in one of the services last week, but I'll tell it again. Eagles, Isaiah chapter 40 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings of eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, they'll rise high. In other words, they'll live strong. They won't give up. When eagles are middle-aged, about my age, I know I don't look it, but when they're middle-aged, they fly up to a place where there's a waterfall. And the first thing they do is they get their beak and they sharpen their beak on the stone. It's a prophetic picture of you and I getting our speech sharpened, because our speech impacts our hearing and our hearing impacts our speech. Sharpen their beaks. Then they sit on a rock and their head can turn 180 degrees, and so they start plucking off their feathers. Their feathers represent their past. It represents their victories, their failures, their wars, their defeats, and they pluck off their feathers. And then for 40 days, they sit under the waterfall, being refreshed and clean by the water. And after 40 days, they have a whole heap of new feathers. They have a strong beak and a sharp beak. And it's like they've been in a day spa for 40 days. They're renewed. So when that scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings of eagles. What is the lesson we learn from the eagle? Sharpen your speech. Pluck off the things that hold you back, that distract you. Even the good things of the past. You know, sometimes you can think about, oh, in the past it was better. In my past relationship, in my past this, in my past that. Pluck it off. Take it off. Get rid of it. Past failures, defeats, insecurities. Get rid of it. Get refreshed under his presence. The water of the word, the refreshing of the spirit, and let him renew you and go out of that place with a focus. Incline your ear to him. Focus on him. In this place right now, there's a whole heap of distractions that are going on. You know, sometimes when I preach, I see people walking around. It distracts me. It distracts me, and I have to focus in a certain area, because if I keep looking at that, my brain will go somewhere else. So I've got to keep focus. In life, the enemy creates distractions, disappointments, hurts. People hurt you. Situations go against you, and they become distractions to the purposes of God. You know, the people who are the great witnesses that are in heaven, everybody had the same opportunity to be a witness. Everybody, every person on earth has had the same opportunity. What makes a witness, a great cloud of witnesses in heaven? What makes my mother stand there? What made her different to the girl she went to school with? What made Marlene Eady be there, different to someone else? What made, you know, Moses and Mother Teresa and different people that have made it to heaven? What was the difference with them and someone else? Focus. Not getting distracted. Focus on Jesus. You know, the Bible says this, I love this. This is awesome reading from the Message Bible. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish, and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's in the place of honor right alongside God. When Jesus went to the cross, two focuses as he had was his Father and you and me. And you know, when he was going through pain, he was tortured, he was beaten, he was spat upon. He didn't get distracted in his life. When people worshipped him, he didn't get distracted. When people persecuted him, he didn't get distracted. When the crowds followed him, he didn't get distracted. When he was isolated, he didn't get distracted. In his last moments, he didn't get distracted. When he said it is finished, he didn't get distracted. He kept focus on his Father and you and me. Destiny is tied up in focus. And so today, Pastor Tim's going to come in just a moment. But today, first of all, I just want to get rid of some distractions. You've got some distractions around you. How do you get rid of it? Get in His presence. Be conscious of Him and focus on Him. All the noise, all the things, the enemy, just like that basketball shooter. He went from 90% to 60%. Why? Because noise got in his way and in his concentration. His heart rate lifted. And he lost sight even though he tried. Why? Because he lived in the same environment instead of getting in another environment. See, if it was me, I would have said, hey, after watching that, I would say, hey, stop. There's another basketball court right near. You guys stay here. I'm going to another court. I'm going to another dimension where it's different to what you... You can make all your noise over here, but you don't have authority to come in here. You can stay over there, but I'm coming over here. I'm going... In actual fact, there's a court that's higher. There's a place that's higher. You stay here. We got a court that's above here. I pray the message has blessed you today. Why don't you connect with us? We'd love to connect with you. You can connect with us on social media, subscribe to us on YouTube, or download our app, which has everything, the one-stop shop of Planet Shakers. We just want to empower you to make a difference in this world. God bless you. Have a great week.